What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture, a fourth episode. Man, we got Brandon, we got Carl here. Hopefully, Sakani will be in shortly. But how y'all feeling today?
I feel good. I want to get into some topics today, for real, for real.
You sure you feel good?
You sure? I feel pretty good, pretty good.
All right. Well, as long as you're all right, I'm all right.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a lot to get into. We're going to talk the national championship, NCAA March Madness, wild finish. Shout out to Virginia. We're going to talk AB versus Juju Smith-Schuster. We got a couple other things to get into. We were actually going to start with the national title game, but we got some breaking news. So Magic Johnson has stepped down as president of basketball operations for the Lakers. And I immediately look at Brandon and say, what do you think as a Lakers fan?
As a Lakers fan, I'm shocked. That's just my first gut reaction. I'm shocked. I like Magic as the president of operations. I think him and Rob Pelinka were actually trying to do something, trying to turn the culture around in LA. I just think that the media and other things added to, you know, how difficult their tasks were going to be. Also, I just feel like in LA, the fans are just, they're not patient. They're not patient at all. You know, we're in, this will be what, the sixth losing season?
Yeah, six in a row.
Six. I mean, there's teams that like were terrible for a long time. Milwaukee, who was Milwaukee like 5 years ago? Nobody. I mean, they're barely now starting to emerge as a threat in the East, you know, with Giannis and then Brooke Lopez, who we traded there, I'm well aware. But, I mean, it's just certain things that added to the demise, I felt, of the Lakers season. One being Lonzo Ball. He wasn't on the floor for a good part of the remaining games. And just injuries. But like I said, it takes time to turn, you know, franchises around. Golden State, Golden State can do no wrong now, but Golden State, I mean, more like 7 years ago, you know what I mean?
Right.
They were an all right team. They weren't like, God, you see who Golden State got on their team? So I think now going forward, you know, LeBron and the crew, they just need to focus on what they need to get done. And whoever wants to ball in LA, if you want to come to LA, that's fine. But know all eyes are going to be on you. Know that day in, day out, the media are going to try to pick you apart and, you know, be divisive and, you know, create those headlines. You know what I mean? That was the narrative this whole season, you know. How much better is the Lakers than they were last year? But also, how much the Lakers aren't as good as they were? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was always like the glass was half full with the Lakers, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I ain't tripping, bro. I ain't tripping, honestly.
Carl?
My initial reaction, I was shocked as well. I feel like Magic Johnson, I don't know, man. One of the first words that came to my mind was like, yo, that was cowardly. I feel like he might be trying to escape a possible downfall. Like, you look at the arrival of a Magic Johnson. What does he do? You draft Lonzo Ball, super hype basketball player coming out of UCLA. You draft a Kyle Kuzma who shows out during the summer league. Team wins the championship. Lonzo Ball wins MVP of the summer league. That season may not have gone as well as some people would have liked, especially Lonzo Ball's individual performance from a field goal shooting, three-point shooting, free throw shooting standpoint. But he proved that he could play in the NBA. At one point in time, he was leading his team in a rebound, and you know, 10-7-7 across the board is not a bad rookie season. It's just bad when you put it, you know, in retrospect with what other people were saying Lonzo Ball should have been. But just because you're saying he should have been that doesn't mean that he will be that. And it doesn't mean that what he provided was terrible. Kyle Kuzma showed out and he showed that he belonged in the league. Then the next following season, you bring in LeBron James and that eliminates all, let's build up our talent. arguments that you can provide to the fans, right. All marketability of this is a process, or we're going to do what one of those other teams did that Brandon mentioned. We're going to find our Giannis. We're going to find our Steph. You know, we're going to find our DeMar DeRozan or whatever, those homegrown stars. They didn't allow that. You bring in a LeBron James, you make that type of a splash, and you may be able to look back on that draft and say De'Aaron Fox is a better NBA point guard to this point than Alonzo Ball, or, you know, all they would have been better off with Dennis Smith, Jason Tatum, whatever. You can look at other basketball players and say they should have been drafted over Alonzo Ball, but Alonzo Ball was not a bad pick.
Yeah, because you don't know how it was going to play out based on his NCAA prospects.
And nobody said that Lonzo Ball had to be the leading scorer of that team. He can be just the...
I don't think anyone expected him to be.
Exactly. Based on his style he of can play. Be... His I mean, dad did. I feel like that's what you have a Kyle Kuzma or a Brandon Ingram for. Brandon Ingram, you build your all-around offensive scoring game. Kyle Kuzma, you focus more on either scoring in the post or shooting from the three. And then Lonzo Ball, you be our glue guy. You put everything together over time with a consistent, because we discussed this with Luke Walton in his rotations. Y'all build some kind of consistency. Y'all figure out what type of offense y'all playing. Ain't no telling where that team could have gone. But you basically stated you weren't looking for patience. You were trying to win now when you bring in LeBron. And the only thing we heard all year was Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis. You throw out all of those trade offers and you don't get Anthony Davis. That's the only thing you failed at.
But here's the thing. It's a cycle. You know what I mean? It's the fans saying, hey, we want to win now. We want to be the Lakers of old, you know, Showtime Lakers. But they don't want to develop any talent. You know what I mean? You have to develop.
I don't know if that's the fans that don't want the talent developed. Because Kobe was developed. Kobe was developed. Nobody minded that.
But no, you have to, but that's the thing though.
And they didn't win immediately when Shaq came.
Exactly.
Either.
And I think that we're spoiled. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say we're spoiled, because I understand how basketball works. You have to understand players. But a lot of Laker fans, they're spoiled. They don't want to develop players. If you look at all the players that were traded away or released by the Lakers, they're doing fairly decent or if good other places. Brooke Lopez, D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle.
But let's be 100% honest. With D'Angelo Russell being an all-star on this Los Angeles Lakers team, would...
I don't know.
No. Come on, let's be honest. I don't think so. Next to LeBron, he's not being an all-star.
Well, he's not going to be an all-star, but is he going to put up numbers? Yeah.
You don't know that. You don't know what... I mean, because imagine him being on that team with those three other...
a corner shooter or a spot-up shooter.
Exactly. You're on the team with those three other players. And LeBron, you're not averaging 21. Julius Randle is not averaging 20 because he didn't average that with the Lakers before LeBron got there. You're not a large enough focus.
Are we drafting Lonzo Ball if we still have D'Lo?
Yes.
Why?
Because you need someone to be your point guard, and D'Angelo Russell never showed as an NBA player that he would have been a point guard for you.
Then why was he at a point guard position? Because he was the best player on the team at one point in time.
Well, he was kind of sharing that with Jordan Clarkson as well.
Look, but to be real, though, and I'm surprised that neither one of you guys mentioned this. I understand, you know, the fans put on pressure, the media puts on pressure, but this is what the Lakers created.
No, I was going to say that.
This is what the Lakers have been about since the 80s. They've been Showtime. It's been, think about early 2000s, you know, after Shaq left, everything was, oh, well, we're going to get Vince Carter. We're going to get Jason Kidd. We're going to get the next big star to basically come in. It's never been about, it's been about building championships, not building rosters. That's what it's been about in LA since who knows how long. It's always been about getting a star, building around those stars with supporting pieces, and that's what they were planning on doing this year with LeBron, or hoping they get AD, hoping they get Kawhi, whoever the case is. It's never been about actually building a roster from the bottom up, because not patient enough.
So who's the best player the Lakers has drafted in the last 5 years?
The best player that they've drafted in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
It will probably be D'Angelo Russell.
That's what I'm saying.
To date, yes.
Second,
it's not like they had bad drafts, though.
If he wasn't a Laker,
solid players.
If he wasn't a Laker, he wouldn't have been able to show us that. Or if he was a Laker, he wouldn't be able to show us that right now.
So are you saying he had something to prove, or what are you saying?
I'm saying he was put in a circumstance where he was able to display.
And to be fair, the pressure was also off of him because
you're playing in
Brooklyn. No one was checking for Brooklyn. Everyone was kind of cool off of D'Angelo Russell because of the whole thing, you know, that
what
with
year
Nick
is
Young.
D'Lo in of
his career? Year four.
Okay, So Lonzo is in what year? Second. Year two, right?
So, but that's what, yeah, to this point, yeah, okay. But we haven't seen the other players reach their peak. Okay. D'Angelo Russell could be at his best right now. So as I said, he could be. We don't know what someone else's peak is.
Well, they did also choose to get rid of Julius Randle, and that was because they thought that they were going to get a big star. Right. They didn't want to pay him.
To be real, I never liked
Julius Randle. I wasn't a big fan, but he's played well.
I didn't like the fact that he decided to ball out once he figured out he was going to be traded. Because,
well, most players will do that.
I know, because he wants to look good for whoever is going to be, jockeying to sign.
Are you 100% sure they would have kept him if he would have balled out all last season?
Who, Julius Randle?
Yeah, because you think, if I ball out, you got to give me 17, 18 a year.
It wouldn't have mattered.
What? How much did he get in New Orleans? What was it, 240? Like 2 years, $40 million, something like that?
Something like that.
You think the Lakers are going to give him that when they're looking at it saying, look at all this money we can get for another already established superstar?
I like that they traded him. That's what I'm saying.
I just think
we should have kept him.
I just think that the organization never truly believed in patience, and it showed in all the moves that they made. The way that they hung themselves out there to drive for Anthony Davis, that's not about patience. I don't know if that was driven by Magic Johnson. I don't know if that was driven by Jeannie Buss as the owner. I don't know where it came from, but just organizationally, the Lakers aren't built like that. The Lakers are, okay, we're at the bottom, but we're not going to be here next year. It's not, this may take us a few years to get to where we want to be. It's like, no, we got to fix this now.
No,
we need to shoot back up into championship contention.
The Lakers, especially throughout my life span, have always been a contender, but there's always been those dry spots.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you want to say, after Shaq, they miss the playoffs, they make the playoffs, but they're out in the first round, then they get Pau Gasol, and they do what they do. Shaq came over from Orlando. They didn't immediately win, but eventually they did. Got three straight. Then you lose, and then everything falls apart. After Kobe, you know, you got these young guys. You missed the playoffs. Like, you have these dry spots.
Yeah.
It's not like the Lakers aren't a contender every single year. So just because you didn't contend LeBron James's first season, which you didn't do Kareem's first season, they didn't even make the playoffs Kareem's first season. So I think instead of putting out so much good, sometimes the fans need to be reminded. We have bad seasons too, but
facts.
Y'all know what we do.
Right.
Y'all know how we come back from adversity. So yes, we missed the playoffs. We had injuries. I'm not finna make that excuse, but it is what it is. If Giannis missed 30 games, they wouldn't be number one. They probably wouldn't be first place. Like, it happens.
So with Magic stepping down, so we can now evaluate his work done, although it was such a small sample size.
That's what
bothers me. How much of the blame do you think Magic gets for the Lakers' lack of success?
I'd say 40%.
40%?
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say something nobody else has ever said. Unpopular opinion. I'm giving Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka, I'm giving LeBron James 0%. I'm giving 100% to Chance. They missed the playoffs. They had a terrible season by Chance. Who knew LeBron James?
We had a ton of injuries.
That's what I'm saying. And you can't plan for that. You can't plan for Lonzo. Can't plan for Kuzma. Can't plan for Ingram and his blood clots. Can't blame.
Or
you can't. You know, you can't predict Rajon Rondo missing as many games as he did.
You can't win games if certain players.
You arguably,
I agree.
Those are arguably your five
best
players.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent. And the reason being is because I understand Lonzo was gone for pretty much the whole second half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Had everything still gone down exactly the way it did regarding the whole AD debacle, do you think that I think their chemistry would have still taken the same hit that it did? They hadn't even properly built chemistry due to injuries, to be fair. But you see, they barely won any games since the trade deadline. Not necessarily because of injuries, because most of them had been playing for a significant amount of time. LeBron comes back and the losing gets worse.
Everybody is injured. No trade rumors. Do they make the playoffs?
Everyone injured, no trade rumors. I think they make the playoffs. But the trade rumors, I think, were enough to make them a fringe playoff team because of the impact that it had on their chemistry. I don't think it puts them where they're at right now. They'd probably be better if they were healthy, but it makes an impact.
So
the chemistry is huge.
Trade rumors had more effect on chemistry than not playing together. with injuries?
I would say yeah, it did. I would say it had a bigger effect than the injuries itself.
As a Laker fan, do you agree? Trade rumors hurt the Lakers more than injuries.
Because it comes down to an issue of now trust.
Because that there does put it on
to Magic. Me, it's a little bit of both. Because when you're a young player, right? And I think I've talked to Sid about this before. You're a young player. It's your first year, second year in the league. You're playing alongside LeBron James, one of the best players in like this era. You know what I mean? Could go down as like top five of all time. Not could. I consider him top five. But, and you have to be like focused every night. You have to be dialed in. You have to like, you can't make any turnovers. If you do, you're going to be in the a headline the next day. Is so-and-so the reason why the Lakers are losing? All eyes are on LeBron, but like, I feel like LeBron coming to LA, being the market it is, just, and like the way social network is set up now, it's a lot to deal with off court and on court. Because you saw Lonzo's first year, Pat Beverly went at him, you know what I mean? But that was probably because of his dad. But yeah. I mean, people are going to go at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, y'all supposed to be the team? Bet. Show me, you know? So I think going forward, I'm curious, what do you think the Lakers should do going forward? Who should they keep? Obviously, they're keeping LeBron.
Honestly, I don't even know who they should keep. I'm not sure if, because I feel like now the trust has been hurt so much, it's almost like they had to do with D'Angelo Russell. The way that affected the team, they had to let him go. There was no bring Lonzo in and potentially try to work it out, in my opinion. I think it was, this kid's got to go. And although it did help to get Mozgov's contract off the books, and that was kind of the primary factor, mm-hmm. it would have had an impact. Because now you can't say, now we're going to build around this dude, especially vets. They're not going to respect that. They're not going to want to go to LA for that. So I think that's why, you know, kind of the same thing here. The trust has been broken. How many of these young guys are going to be content playing with LeBron, especially when it's not leading to championships or championship
contention? Well, being a Lakers fan, I think we should keep, well, we're keeping LeBron for sure. I think we should keep Kuz. Mm-hmm. I think we give Lonzo one more year, see what he does. If he's not producing, then yeah, you can decide. But like, if a guy's injured, he's injured. I really like Caruso just being like a role guy. JaVale McGee, it can go either way. I don't know.
They got
really
a lot
care.
Of 1 year deals. Yeah, so they have flexibility. You know what
I
mean? That's
I
like
feel
the
like
best
as
thing
long as he's
this.
Like a minimum,
yeah.
No more than $2 million a year, JaVale McGee can be on my team.
Mm. Two? Sheesh.
No more than $2 million. I give JaVale McGee $2 million.
Not even four. All right. But yeah, I like JaVale. I like his energy. I like Lance. I like what Lance brings to the table. Rajon, I like as a you just did the guitar.
I like
Rajon as like a basketball mind. I don't really care for him on the floor. Because if I can have another guard that's
younger.
So what,
you want him a coach?
I don't know. Just limited minutes. He like.
It's tough for him because he knows he can still contribute. He knows he can play.
He
so.
Can, but like, does he have that same motor? Is he going to go out and get you 10 assists a night? 9 to 10 assists a night? Nah, he's not
going
to do
it. Give him the ball, he can. He led the league in assists with Sacramento. Why he can't do it with the Lakers? Because LeBron is there.
Either way, I feel like we could get somebody younger.
To do what he does?
Not to do what he does, just to fill his position. You know, somebody that can go to get relief minutes. You know what I mean? Relief minutes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a very weird situation. I don't think anyone saw this coming. No. This is going to be probably the biggest headline, and we'll see how it affects their free agency, you know, and trades and stuff in the offseason. Yeah. They get someone in the fold soon. Maybe that helps them out, you know, kind of shows that the Lakers are a stable organization.
Right.
And
I think
big name free agents want to go.
I definitely think he dipped out early. You should have, like, you can't have simply one fail, which was Anthony Davis.
Right. And I mean, we also don't.
One fail? Kawhi wasn't a fail?
No.
Paul George wasn't a fail?
Nah.
I feel like Paul George lightweight wasn't a failure because it seemed like they weren't even all in.
Failure.
Like, the Lakers didn't do their Lakers. And I'm not Magic saying that it was. George.
I'm just saying that I think most people would consider those how, failure.
What would be the failure for Kawhi?
That's what I'm saying.
Ain't no telling. They're like, not we don't real, know if Popovich would have done that trade failures. Anyway.
They're not real failures.
Yeah, the only failure saying, I would like call is media. Not being able to get the trade done for Anthony Davis. Yeah, that's the only thing.
That's a fail.
You brought in LeBron. You drafted Lonzo. You drafted Kyle Kuzma, who are at least two of the top 10 rookies that year. How many people can say that they're actually able to get two of the top 10 rookies in one draft?
Yeah. Well, just so y'all know, I will be wearing my Lakers gear all summer and all year long. So it's whatever.
It's going to be a long
summer. I'm riding with the Lakers till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, no, respect. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the Lakers moving forward. Crazy thing, you know, we don't know. Obviously, more news will come out soon. It could be health related. It could be plenty of things that we don't know about. So we'll see what breaks, you know, in the coming days as well.
With Magic Johnson leaving the Lakers, just real quick, yes or no, does that help or hurt them attract a big free agent this offseason?
It could. It could help them. I think it could help them just because anytime you get rid of old blood and you get like a fresh start, I feel like it gives players hope to like start new, start fresh, you know. I don't know who's interested, because that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to be tough to play in LA. Like, a lot of these players get told to like play in a big market, New York, LA. Is Golden State like a big market now still or not? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier to play on those teams, but like the ones that are already, you know, harder to play in, like New York and LA, I feel like you got to be strong mentally and like strong, like on the court, you know what I mean? Right. To bring it every night.
Right, right. I mean, I think that it could potentially hurt them. And I think it's more so about two things. When you hire someone and who you hire, the timing is important, because if you wait until, you know, let's let free agency play out and then make a hire, mm-hmm. some people won't want to go because they don't know what the leadership is going to be like. But if you pick the right person, or not even necessarily the right person, you pick a person and let them speak and, you know, get in the airwaves and say, hey, mm-hmm. this is what we're trying to do with the franchise.
Right.
And let them take that into account before they make a decision, as opposed to, well, we'll just see who we get and then we'll put someone in and then go from there. Like, I can't be a part of a vision that I don't even know. I don't even know what the vision is. So why am I going to just dive right in during my prime and give you 2, 3, 4 years of my prime for a vision that I may not even be on board
with? So who they replace is going to be important. Anybody on that list you think they should be looking at?
You know, I was thinking about like some smaller market teams, you know, some kind of up and coming executives. Mm. And I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head.
Who's the, is Danny Ainge working for anybody right now?
Yeah, he's with the Celtics. He ain't leaving though.
Bet.
Especially not going to the Lakers.
Mark Jackson?
Well, not a...
Not as an exec?
Yeah, not as an exec. I don't see anyone that's currently a head coach or previously been a head coach that's ready for the front office.
What about Chauncey? Wasn't Chauncey like supposed to be the GM?
Chauncey Billups will be a very...
But he got word that LeBron was leaving, so he didn't even take the meeting, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Chauncey might be.
LeBron's leaving or Magic's leaving?
No, Chauncey was supposed to be interviewed for the GM for the Cleveland Cavaliers, but he got word that LeBron was leaving, so he didn't even take the interview, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
that would be a very...
I would love to have Chauncey.
I mean, they got Elton Brand in Phoenix.
Where does this...
Elton Brand in...
I thought he was still in Phoenix.
No, he's in Philly.
He is in Philly. Yeah, he's in Philly.
James Jones is in Phoenix.
Okay, yeah.
Wait, what is James Jones is doing? What?
He's the GM.
Is he really?
The shooter.
The one that used to be on Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's dope.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't really think of, outside of prying someone out of another organization, Chauncey Billups is probably the best. He's probably the best fit.
Where does this leave Rob, though? Rob Pelinka.
And, you know, we were talking about that. What is his role? We were talking about that off air because, yeah.
He is the GM.
What does this mean?
Magic was president of operations.
But he was GM by title. Was he really acting? What moves that were made were Rob's call? Or, you know.
Right. You know, trading for Mike Muscala. Trading for Reggie Bullock. Like, who pulled the triggers on those?
Yeah. So, like,
I think they worked as a partnership.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
I just don't understand the Zubac trade.
I like Zoo. That was a terrible trade.
Just to get Michael Beasley out? That was a terrible trade.
I like Zoo. You could have like just seven released footer, Michael Beasley. He's a seven-footer. And he was starting to, like, that's what I'm saying.
He was the best offensive option y'all had in the post. But
you know what? I also think that a lot of it is really Magic's thought process on the low, because he got rid of Lou Williams, too. Why?
Anyway, for who? What else do we have on the agenda? Because I'm tired of talking about my Lakers.
That was supposed to be a yes or no.
Sure. So let's move on to the NCAA National Championship. Did y'all get to watch the game?
I had to work.
Oh, bruh.
I was mad.
You were mad?
Was it a good game?
Because it wasn't all. Oh, no. It was a very good game.
It went to OT, right?
Yeah, it went to OT. It was a wild, like, last 7 minutes of the game. Mm. So Virginia had gone up, and then it kind of just started just to flip-flop from there. Mm. Texas Tech basically came all the way back. Virginia was up, like, 13 at one point.
I did see that. They did get a nice early lead. It seemed like Texas Tech just couldn't get a good look for nothing.
Right.
And any good look they got.
It could be jitters because that was their first national championship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was both teams' first national championships. It was, you know, jitters.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, that was Virginia's very first. So I think it was a lot of jitters for both of them.
One for one.
Yeah, one for one. That game was so wild to me because, you know, I was thinking, I think I may have mentioned to another friend or something, was that I thought this is going to be like the lowest scoring national championship game in history because they're both elite defenses. Yeah. You know, so you're thinking it's going to be like 50-49 or something like that. But then, you know, Virginia put up 85 points, you know,
that's
Texas Tech 77.
In a championship game?
Yeah, in a championship game. Yeah, that's definitely a lot.
That's like
an against
NBA
one of the
game.
Best. Yeah, against one of the best, you know, defenses in the nation. So, I mean, shout out to Virginia. I definitely underrated them. I thought that they were going to choke. They choked last year. They had kind of one of the biggest turnarounds. You had one of the biggest upsets in March Madness history and then turn around and win the championship the next year. I mean, that's insane. I didn't see that happen.
I definitely give them credit for the national championship win. I'm still salty over the Auburn win, which shouldn't have been a win. Technically, it was a win because they won. But it messed up. My prediction.
I told you Auburn.
Yeah, you said Auburn was tough, and I shouted you out on the last episode too because you called that, and
it's kind of ironic that I did call it against my own team, but I didn't know it was going to line up that way.
Right.
But I mean, we could see Auburn back next year depending on the type of squad they have. To be completely honest, I didn't really care to watch it. I didn't even go and watch highlights because I'm not really a. None
I
of those teams
that
I wasn't really interested in. But also, I don't know anybody on those squads. I didn't follow any of the high school players on that squad, so I wasn't really into
now,
it.
As a college player, sometimes you can look at a college basketball player and you can see that this is the best that they're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Kyle Guy. He showed out.
Really?
He got a nice step back.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice step back.
I keep hearing his name.
Kyle Guy, nice. For Virginia?
Is he nice?
He nice.
He seemed like one of them dudes like that you play in high school and you would just absolutely hate him.
Exactly.
You don't think he's that good. Yeah. He looks like he just looks the part, he plays the part.
Everything is so mechanical and everything is done
textbook?
Everything is done so it's so hard to guard, but you can see that's only going to get you
How
so
tall
far.
Is he?
I don't know.
Because that can go one or two ways in a league, right? Because to me, somebody like that would be like a Klay Thompson type player. But Klay Thompson can create a shot from anywhere.
He's only 6'3".
He's only 6'3".
He looks taller.
I don't know.
I was going to give him like 6'5".
Nah,
I thought he was bigger, but yeah, he only
I have
6'3".
A lot of questions. Because off the bat, he doesn't have height.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. In college, but NBA, I don't see NBA. But college, he's nice for college.
Great college player.
Nice.
And it's funny because watching him play, he reminds me of a Duke player. Like, he should be playing.
He sounds like a Duke player.
Yeah.
But, where I used to work, my manager, he was a Duke fan, right? He went to Duke University
smart,
and all this stuff.
Smart
and he always used to give me crap about, you know, being
North
a UNC
Carolina.
Fan.
Yeah.
And I told him the reason why y'all stopped winning national championships because y'all stopped drafting white dudes, stop recruiting white dudes, and he's black too.
Yeah.
So he just thought it was funny.
Man.
But I'm just saying, you know what I mean? That exciting basketball. Remember, I was saying that were they going to be able to sustain that intensity the whole tournament?
Right.
And they barely escaped a lot of teams.
Yeah.
North Carolina included. So.
But, and it's funny because that just shows you how it can go. Sometimes the ball just rolls your way. And for Virginia, it rolled their way a couple times, and that led to them making it to the championship game.
It literally rolled off of his foot and his hands for a double dribble.
That right. Was not so cool. There was that game, and then the Elite Eight game, too, against Purdue. They almost lost that game, but Diakite, I think they threw it to him, and he like threw it up at the last second, and that forced overtime.
Is that the black guy with the blonde
hair? Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, those are two things that could have easily just derailed their whole entire pursuit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so we and Duke was the same way, but
maybe,
they didn't finally
maybe this was just their this was just their year.
Yeah.
You know.
So, did y'all bet on that game?
Nah.
Y'all
should have bet like a case of... Mountain Dew.
I'm confident in my picks, but not to like
a case of Fiji water. That's what we're gonna do. Make bets of
how much is a case of Fiji water? I know that's like gotta be at least 15.
What you go to WinCo? Ain't that much?
But it's Fiji.
That's 12.
Though. Yeah. How about the WinCo brand water? That's like $5 for like 32.
All right, we can do that
for a 32 pack.
Yeah. It's gotta $5? Be crystal. Like Winko? It gotta be like the crystal guys.
Shout out Winko. Just the Winko brand.
Nah, I want crystal.
Shout out Winko.
I need crystal.
Y'all bougie.
What you mean?
Nah, but I mean, shout out Virginia. Texas Tech played a heck of a game. They had a crazy run too. This was weird because it wasn't two marquee teams. It wasn't even at least one marquee team.
Nah.
You know, it wasn't the Michigan State. It wasn't North Carolina, Duke. You know, UCLA or any, you know, prestigious university like that. And I think that was probably good for college basketball that you didn't see all the top recruits in there. Right. That just showed you two teams that had, you know, coaches that actually developed teams and let their players play. Yeah. And, you know, here they are on the biggest stage. So,
you know, we now say that the ACC is the toughest tournament in NCAA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it's always been.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know we had to say that.
Yeah, I mean, they had three number one seeds in the tournament. Right. No, I think the ACC is definitely the absolute toughest. Even the teams at the bottom, when you think about
Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, Virginia Tech. You think about Florida State. Right. Miami. Florida Miami State is
always.
Miami always plays teams tough. Like, it's easily the toughest conference in the whole entire nation from top to bottom.
For sure.
I mean. Just that's wild. So wild. Next up, we got a legend that's going to be retiring by the end of this week.
Brian Scalabrine.
Yeah. No, he been retired.
Oh.
Oh, Swaggy P. He ain't officially retired yet.
He ain't quite a legend yet. Not like D Wade.
Okay.
First and foremost, when you guys think of D Wade, what do you think of?
Miami. Dwayne Wade is the Miami Heat.
Yeah. I think he's the best player. Like, he'll probably go, well, I don't know if he'll go down as the best player of that franchise, but he'll be like.
I think like he will.
He should.
He's the player for that franchise. I mean, who franchise.
Is in? Because before that, it was Alonzo Mourning, but D-Wade, he runs that whole entire county. Yeah. It's Miami Wade County.
Yeah, like, for sure. For
yeah, sure. I mean. So shout out to Dwayne Wade. He's had a heck of a career, you know, just all the love and support that's been shown to him. You know, it's funny because we talked about the jersey exchange. Everyone wants to get his jersey. It's funny because I saw a commercial, the Budweiser like advertisement kind of like commemorating him.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because I thought of you, Carl, immediately because they showed some of the jerseys and I didn't recognize a couple. So I had to pause it and zoom in. One of them was Wayne Ellington's jersey. For the Pistons, not Blake Griffin, not even Reggie Jackson.
That made me mad.
Wayne Ellington.
Blake's,
Jay Crowder, too, I think was a jersey on there.
Did he and Wayne Ellington play together?
They may have been together on Miami. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably why.
I get
why.
It. So only because y'all was teammates.
That's probably why. Yeah. Blake isn't connection. A guard either. So.
Yeah, but still, man. I'm,
he needs his dirt.
Carl said he needed star players.
He
only.
Did. Yeah. I saw Jay Crowder, too. I didn't like that one.
Yeah,
but well, he also had Donovan Mitchell. So it's like, what other
Joe Ingles,
Rudy Gobert?
Yeah, Joe Ingles is nice. I don't care what anyone.
Joe
says.
Ingles.
Who would you pick on your team? Joe Ingles or Jay Crowder?
It depends on what I need.
If I need someone,
if you need Joe, buckets,
Joe Ingles. Ingles. Joe Ingles is more Lamar Odom.
But that's what I'm saying. Joe Ingles is if Kyle Guy was 6'9", he'd be Joe Ingles. But because he's 6'3", it's like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I mean, I know I threw this off track, but we'll get back to D-Wade. So, I mean, we're talking 3-time champion. I think it's pretty undisputed that he's probably one of the top three shooting guards of all time.
Facts.
I mean,
undisputed top five, my opinion, top three.
Who would you have potentially above him?
Somebody like a Jerry West. Somebody who somebody else
paying argue. Respect to, you know, OG legends. Right. Yeah, I feel it. But he'd probably be number three in my book.
Wait, what was Elgin Baylor? Three?
How tall was Elgin?
He's more so. I'd give him more so a three. Elgin Baylor. Think he was like 6'8".
Tall.
I say Elgin Baylor was more of a three. Because he played along with Jerry West, and Jerry West was considered a two.
Right.
So, yeah. And then Gail Goodrich was at the
Oscar
one.
Was a one. Mm. Elgin Baylor was 6'5".
6'5". Okay. Yeah, I don't know. But I'd still give D-Wade three.
Listed as a small four, 6'5". That's a small four. Yeah, I'd give him three.
I'll give him three.
Right behind Kobe and Mike.
Man, did this dude just did this?
All right. So, obviously, us here, we all respect D-Wade's career. But clearly, one person does not. And that's Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce had the audacity to say that he had a better career than Dwayne Wade.
That's what he's supposed to say, though. Like,
no, he not.
I mean,
he's not.
So he's supposed to say he had a better career than Michael Jordan.
They set him up.
He said, no one set him up. He said that on his own.
Did he really?
Yeah, he said that.
The video that I saw.
I mean, they asked the question, but that's not set up. That's what I'm saying. So if I ask Paul Pierce who had a better career, you or Kobe, you or Kareem, you or Mike, he's supposed to still say himself.
That's basketball rules because, first of all,
not when you
retire.
I'm
not going to say somebody nicer than me.
If y'all active, no. If y'all retired, yes.
Even still, it's going to feel weird to say somebody's, because.
But you're looking at what played out. It's for Paul Pierce to look at that situation and say, oh, well, when I was 24, 25, 26, you give me Shaq, you give me LeBron, you give me Chris Bosh, I would have 5 or 6 championships. One, Dwayne Wade
didn't
get
them. He shouldn't have said all that.
Like, how old was he when LeBron came over there? He wasn't 24. He might have been 24 when he had Shaq, but he spent years in college. So, yeah. Okay, so he had Shaq, who he had to carry in the finals.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, D-Wade drove that championship run
when Kevin,
in 06.
And Paul Pierce wouldn't like this, but I wouldn't care. I would love to say this in front of Paul Pierce. When Kevin Garnett got hurt that second year, before Orlando or during Orlando, whatever, Paul Pierce didn't carry them past that series to the finals against the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. Paul Pierce in 09, yeah.
Exactly. Paul Pierce didn't carry them in 10 when they made it again to beat the Lakers. When you had your guys and they were healthy and you were able to lean on Kevin Garnett to be the defensive anchor and run the post, when you were able to lean on Ray Allen to move around and be that offensive, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like distraction?
No, yeah, decoy.
Decoy. To be that decoy or to knock down those shots or even play defense on the opposite end, y'all were able to win. Amazing record, break records, you win a championship. As I stated, the next year Kevin Garnett gets hurt and you don't do anything special. The year following, y'all make it, but you don't do anything special. I've seen Dwayne Wade do things that you yourself had an opportunity to do that you did not do.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Wade was amazing against the Dallas Mavericks when they won.
I think anybody...
He was good that year that LeBron didn't show up. Right. He averaged 30. LeBron averaged 17. He did well. Paul Pierce, you ain't show up sometimes.
I think anybody with a good pair of eyes knows that D-Wade has better career than Paul Pierce. However, I think it's extremely disrespectful to Paul Pierce to have that type of question like presented to him in the way that they did, because for me, why do I need to say, like, compare my career to his career when I'm done in that way? You know what I mean? And I feel like it's a luxury. There's a lot of players that had the luxury of staying with one organization the entire career. Dirk, Kobe,
Tim Duncan,
Manu, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those guys are a dime a dozen. And I feel like Paul Pierce, when you think of Celtics, you think of Paul Pierce. You know what I mean?
No, without a doubt.
But, like, you're called the who do you think of?
When I think of Paul Pierce, I think of the Celtics. When I think of the Celtics, I think of Larry Bird.
Either way,
it's
either
a difference.
No, it's not. It's not. I'm just saying. It's disrespectful to Paul Pierce, and people act like Paul Pierce wasn't a walking bucket. Like he'll give you.
He was.
You call the truth for a reason.
Paul Pierce was cold.
Instead, they should have said. Levels. They should have said, "How do you feel playing now that one of your contemporaries is retiring? What do you think of the career he has made for himself?" Not comparing, like.
So why couldn't he give you an answer? If you're Paul Pierce and I ask you who had a better career,
bruh,
you or Dwayne Wade, why couldn't he say everything that you just said? You know what? I'm going to be honest with you.
Because
I feel
we're
both equally great. I don't feel like I have to compare myself to him. I congratulate him on everything he did.
Because he's a competitor. That's what I'm saying. Basketball rules. If somebody says, bruh, I'm nicer to you, you'd be like, what? You gonna suck your TV and be like, nah, you're not nice.
If they say it, yeah, but if somebody else asks you, you can give a humble answer. It's possible.
I don't know. I feel some type of way. I love both.
I just think that it's levels.
I feel some type of way about it.
And
because I'm a hooper.
Dwayne Wade, as we pretty much established, is the third greatest shooting guard of all time, the best Miami Heat player of all time. Paul Pierce doesn't rank as the third best small forward or the best Celtic ever.
And I mean, I do think that the small forward ranks. Probably a little deeper than the shooting guard ranks, you know, which would partially explain why he's further down the list, you know, on the small forward list. Because the small forward list is strong, like super strong.
If you that good.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, and don't get me wrong. Paul Pierce was the truth. And I remember he had some rough years in Boston when he didn't really have the talent around him.
Mm-hmm.
So to be fair, he didn't. But Wade had some down years, too.
Yeah.
You know, from... When you think about from about 08 through, what was it, 2011 when LeBron came or 2010,
right.
Those were some down years for Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
They really were. You know, no Shaq. You know, he had Michael Beasley still on the squad. You know, they basically ended up breaking that whole entire team up because the whole team was trash. And that's how they paved the way for LeBron and for Bosch to join him there.
Yeah.
I just think it's really disrespectful to Paul Pierce.
Beasley didn't turn out to be what people thought he was going to be to help
Wade. Oh, yeah, nowhere close.
He's one of the laziest players I've ever
Udonis seen. Haslam is just one of those, he means so much to the franchise. He means so much to the community. You could have been found another power forward.
Oh, yeah, but it was...
I don't feel like they were really
It was a lifetime achievement award. Yeah, it was like a...
Tenure.
Like, just like with Nick Collison. He got his jersey retired by OKC, but it's because of he was the one there the whole time back from Seattle.
It's a 10-year award, basically.
You're a nice guy.
Thanks for...
Always being on time. You never got no arguments. You never got fined.
You've
just always been good to us.
Nah, exactly. So, I mean, I think it's pretty clear, you know... Paul Pierce has had a great career nonetheless, but D-Wade, I mean, three championships, you know, at the age of what, 25, that he led them to that first one.
Right.
Paul Pierce wasn't going to be doing that at 25.
Breaking news, Dwayne Wade tripped on the scores table at the end of the game.
On the scores table?
Yeah. Because he tried to hop up on it. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh.
And he tripped and fell. But also in the closing seconds or minutes of the game, the crowd chanted "Paul Pierce sucks," which
that's too much.
You know, like
that's too much.
That's what I'm saying. People are disrespectful, bro.
Yeah, nah, they
shouldn't have gave that answer.
They got to
chill. Oh, they
about that.
That's
they
bad.
They shouldn't have asked him that.
122-99, Miami beats Philly.
Did the Sixers just bench everyone?
Let me see who played.
Because I'm convinced no one played.
Ben Simmons played 21 minutes. Tobias Harris played 20. Jimmy Butler played 26. Joel Embiid didn't play. J.J. Redick didn't play. Most minutes played was by Zaire Smith.
Yeah, that was a throwaway
30.
Game for them.
Yeah. I think they did that to
out of respect.
D-Wade started 35 minutes. He had 30 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds.
Do you think D-Wade's going to join the Big 3 now?
No, I think he's done.
You think he's done?
Nah, when you're a player like Dwayne Wade, when you're done playing,
you got a lot of mileage, man.
Because this is the thing. If he wanted to continue playing, he could play in the NBA. You only play in the Big 3 when the NBA is not an option and you still ain't got all your basketball out your system.
They dropped the age, though. There's some real hoopers playing in the Big 3 now.
How many of them can play in the NBA if they wanted to?
A few.
Name one.
What's his name? From Nitty. Frank Nitty?
I don't think he can play in the league.
You don't think he can play in the league?
You talking about the point guard for the Knicks?
I don't think so.
No.
Wouldn't it be? No, you talking about the one from the... That's why I thought you were giving him a nickname.
From the Drew League.
Yeah, a little dark-skinned dude with that bust. Denzel Valentine. If he really wanted to,
I feel like he could.
I don't know. It's a lot of dudes that can just hoop.
A lot of people can get buckets, like, anywhere.
You got to be able to play.
There are plenty of people walking the streets that are walking buckets. But
there's a lot of garbage players in the league too, though. To be real,
hey, but
they're like, not gonna be there alone.
Man. Yeah, yeah, not for long.
What's next, Sid?
All right, did y'all catch what AB had to say about Juju Smith-Schuster?
Somewhat.
All right,
yeah.
So I'm gonna go through one of his tweets real quick and just kind of let us reflect on this a little bit. I mean, mind you, obviously AB was traded to the Raiders. So, I mean, obviously they were great teammates, or it seemed like they were great teammates while they were playing together. But, you know, things have obviously kind of gone downhill. So recently, you know, he kind of been taking a little bit of some digs at Juju over time. But this was kind of what pushed him over the edge. A fan posted on Twitter basically just a picture of Juju Smith-Schuster because he was voted as team MVP this season. And mind you, AB's won that award so many times throughout his tenure, you know, with the Steelers. So what AB said in response to that tweet was, emotion. Boy fumbled the whole postseason in the biggest game of the year. Everyone went blind, too busy making guys famous, not enough reality these days. Obviously, he's talking about the game in week 16 against the Saints where Juju Smith-Schuster fumbled the ball when they were driving to potentially win the game. And although that didn't eliminate them from the playoffs, it hurt their, you know, chances. They had to win in week 17 against Cincinnati,
right,
and hope that Cleveland beat Baltimore in their game to allow them to go in as a wild card. So this is what Juju said in response. All I ever did was show that man love and respect from the moment I got to the league. I was genuinely happy for him when he got traded to Oakland with the big contract, and now he takes shots at me on social media. And what AB ended up doing also was he actually went back from like 4 years ago and pulled up a DM that Juju sent him when he was 18 years old. Like, hey, I'm a wide receiver at USC. I just want to say you're a great man on and off the field. Do you have any pointers for me?
Mm.
But why do you post that? Everyone already thinks that Juju Smith-Schuster is a good guy. So basically all you show is that he's humble and that he's willing to learn and that he looks up to greatness. So how did you think that was going to put him in a bad light? Was that supposed to be like a macho thing? Like, hey, well, you're looking up to me, so like, who's daddy type thing?
Congratulations. You played yourself.
He definitely played himself. And I think universally everyone has kind of agreed that it completely backfired on him. Like, what do you guys think about that?
What are you doing? You burning bridges. Like, you don't need – if you don't have any ties to that team anymore and you're moving on to another team, why talk down on that team?
Right.
You know what I mean? Move on. You know what I mean? It seems to me that AB has some unfinished business in Pittsburgh, you know,
right,
because if you're saying stuff like that, and hasn't he been on like the shop and, you know, the board?
Yeah, he was on the shop and all that stuff.
He's been talking a lot. I think he just needs to like go and just like go away for a while
In my opinion, when you think about bad teammates or people that they tried to classify as bad teammates, whether that's Randy Moss, whether that's T.O., I think that AB might have placed himself ahead of them because a lot of the stuff is documented and he's shown that there's no misinterpretation of it. It's actually him visibly being a bad teammate. Even in week 17, I know there's the whole confusion about, well, did he not play because he was hurt, or did the organization tell him not to play?
Yeah.
Dude, you're over there sitting on the side, you know, in a chinchilla, you know, jacket,
yeah,
watching your team struggle when you should have been out there to lead them to this win. And I think even Juju after the game, because on the big screen, they were watching the Cleveland and Baltimore game. Mm-hmm. Juju's watching like a little kid, like, oh my God, I hope, you know, they lose so that we can make it. Mm-hmm. AB was nowhere to be found. Like, it's literally never been about the team for him, and I think he just continues to show that with everything that he does.
Well, I think for him, he proves a lot of people right for the stereotype that, like, all wide receivers are divas. Because he's just so emotional. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't he having issues with Ben Roethlisberger last season?
And some of that was warranted because Ben's difficult.
Ben throws people on the bus too, though.
Yeah, he does.
So, Maybe it's just the culture there. I don't know.
Antonio Brown is acting out. He's hurt. You don't have the best relationship with the organization. You don't have the best relationship with your quarterback. Quarterback makes a public statement about how they should have thrown the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster four consecutive times in the red zone. It's going to make you feel a way when you're the number one receiver. And then when you're having this public dispute with Ben Roethlisberger and the organization, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, he came to the defense
of Ben Roethlisberger.
I see.
I recall this, but I don't think too many people remember.
But he also had to, because that's his quarterback now.
I don't know. Now, I will know if you had to. And I'm only saying that because on March 25th, he tweeted a picture. Juju Smith-Schuster tweeted a picture of himself and Ben Roethlisberger stating, "I was so blessed to enter the league and play with the Hall of Fame quarterback as a 20-year-old. Ben has taught me so much. He's a true leader. I can't wait to rock with my guy this season."
Yeah, after maybe all he the didn't things, have to post that.
After all the things that I'm saying as Antonio Brown about this man, and you supposed to be my little homie. Like, you was my receiver, you was my guy. Now you're calling him your guy. You could have stayed out of it.
But so now he's feeling some type of way.
Yeah, you're calling him your guy. You're calling him a great leader. When I'm saying he's not a great leader, so now people are looking at it like, well, which one of y'all lying? And now you just put yourself in the middle of something you didn't have to be a part of.
Right.
So now you're catching it. And I also saw, because I didn't know about this part, because I never understood why Antonio Brown said emotions at the beginning of his tweet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can pull that up.
Yeah. 2 days ago, Juju Smith-Schuster tweeted this one line: "Keep your emotions off the internet." What AB tweeted prior to that, posted prior to that to show that he was emotional, I don't know. But Juju tweets that, "Keep your emotions off the internet." Then AB follows up with the emotions. You know, right. You already read it.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like, obviously, yes, AB's hurt because if it was his choice, he wouldn't have left Pittsburgh.
No, just pay me and I'll be here like I want to be.
Right. But I think that AB has shown left and right, and a lot of things he doesn't necessarily get blamed for or get knocked for, that if you go back in time, I feel like you'd be like, man, you know, that should be a negative towards him. So think about the offseason leading into the preseason. Remember when Le'Veon Bell was holding out?
Yes.
You had initially all the offensive linemen and everyone were, you know, defending him and say, hey, pay him. You know, we want him here. We need him here. All this stuff. Until he broke his promise of saying that he was going to be back come week one, and he wasn't.
Right.
So a lot of players were coming out. Where was AB? I never heard. You're one of the star players. You're part of the Triple Bs. When did he ever say, yo, pay that man. That's my bro. We need him here. We're not winning no championship without him, yada, yada, yada. I never heard anything like that. And you can look back now at the way that AB's acting, because AB wants his targets. He wants his receptions. He's the kind of dude where you may be, I think at one point they were, 7-2-1? Mm-hmm. They were winning, but if AB's not getting 6 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown, it's a problem. There is no one catch for 8 yards and Juju gets, 8 catches for 160. Like, well, that's not going
to
work.
He wants to win.
Yeah, he wants to win.
He wants to be the reason why
they win.
He wants to be respected like the quarterback. He wants to be acknowledged like the quarterback.
Right.
I think he's going through what KD went through, where
it's a little bit of an identity crisis.
Yeah, where he's like, okay, you guys are making me to be the bad guy. Okay, let me be the bad guy. Let me be in that role. But you're complaining about getting passes thrown to you in Pittsburgh. You need to be worried about who's going to be throwing it to you in Oakland.
Yeah,
who's
it may or may not be Derek Carr at this point, and we don't know.
And your coach is questionable.
Yeah. Oh, no, questionable at best.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that when you think about AB, because a lot of stuff has come out, Ryan Clark has kind of been the biggest soundbite. You know, former Steeler, played for the Steelers back when AB was coming up, when he was just Antonio Brown's 6th-round pick and we didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. There were things that have come out from back then that, kind of hint towards his diva attitude and kind of team breaker attitude. Ryan Clark even went as far to say, and he said this on an interview today, that Antonio's just not a good human. Like,
sheesh.
And that's harsh. Yeah, he said he's not a good human. And he said there are still things that he's holding on to that he hasn't put out in the media, because he's trying to protect him to an extent, because that would damn his entire reputation. So he doesn't want to put all of it out there. But Ryan Clark has seen a lot. he's a vet, you know, or he was a vet, you know,
and he seems reasonable. You know what I mean? He seems pretty level headed from, like, you know, from what I've heard.
Ryan Clark isn't chasing for clout,
right? Like, right.
So I mean, I think there's a lot of things that will never quite come out about AB, and it's hard because you see, you know, his smile, you see his touchdown dances and all that stuff. And he's a charming guy, but I think that he's also very manipulative and very angry. Yeah, he's got douchebag mentality, you know, behind it as well. But I mean, if anyone wins out of this, is Juju, because people just love him that much more now. He was already, you know, people's spirit animal, and now they see how he's handled this. And you know, he's what, 22 years old. How has he come out as the more mature player?
Right.
Which is insane. And he hasn't even gotten paid yet.
Well, it says a lot about AB.
Yeah, AB is 31.
Sad.
It says a lot about AB. But, you know, I hope he has a good year in Oakland. Like I said, like, I don't know who's going to be, we don't know who's going to be throwing to him.
Right.
Can Derek Carr even stay healthy enough to throw to you?
Right. Can the offensive line hold up to allow Derek Carr to throw?
Is your coach going to be calling great plays for you?
Yeah, he's going to be throwing to whoever their tight end is. Like,
you got bigger things to worry about, AB. I think you need to focus on Oakland and what you're going to be doing in Oakland instead of Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because that's in the past now.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I agree. So we'll go on to the next topic. Brandon, you mentioned this earlier about Zion Williamson, and who do you think in the draft needs him the most?
Yeah.
Who do you guys think needs Zion the most?
I think a lot of people need Zion, but I still don't know how he's going to fare in the NBA, because his style of play is really different than what I've seen in a while. You know what I mean? The way he goes up and grab boards is cool. I shouldn't say it's cool. It's not like a typical player, and his height and weight is way different. I just don't know who's going to, because where are you going to put him at a small forward position?
I think you put him at a power forward.
Power forward.
Power forward being because today's game is practically small ball. So why put him at a small forward?
Like a Draymond. I don't know if he's, well, he can pass. He can pass like Draymond.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. I would love to see him on the Knicks, just because him and Dennis Smith, they're going to put butts in the seats because they play above the rim. Dennis Smith seems like he's going to go on to be a potential all-star. I don't know just yet, but I could see him being an all-star one day. And Zion Williamson, that tag team could be pretty lethal, especially out in the East.
Right.
I don't want him to go to Phoenix. I just feel like his career would die there.
Mm-hmm. Carl, where do you think he needs to go, or what team needs Zion?
If Zion Williamson turns out to be everything that he's projected to be, that next superstar, I say he's needed more by the Knicks than anybody else. Because I just feel like it's been so long since they've had that.
Right.
They're the most deserving at this time.
Who was your last marquee player? Was it Melo?
Melo.
Yeah.
Melo, Porzingis.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. We forgot all about Porzingis. Well, Porzingis is not even on that
squad. Right, yeah. I mean, he's not there. His injury problems.
That would have been nice. Nice.
Yeah. Right. You know, he was good enough to. He was good enough to be something that somebody brings up if you're trying to go to the Knicks. Like, if you're a Kevin Durant, a Kyrie, a Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, you're going to the Knicks. Porzingis. It's good enough to say, oh, well, they do got Porzingis as well, so you have somebody you can play with. But if you're looking for the next superstar that's really going to carry your team without, you know, worrying about if somebody else is going to come play with him. If Zion turns out to be that good, I don't see him being a Giannis, like being the best player on a team that's number one in the conference. I personally don't see him being that. But if he turns out to be everything that people project him to be, I'd say the Knicks need that more than any other team at the bottom. If he turns out to just be a decent player, I wouldn't mind seeing him in Chicago. I think it'd be really fun to watch him and Zach LaVine.
Mm.
They both play above the rim.
I think that'd be fun to watch.
Zach has turned out to be a really good guard. Right.
But that's only if he just doesn't turn out to be amazing.
Right.
So if he is able to be good next to Zach LaVine, that'd be dope. But if you're going to be a superstar and you're on the Knicks, I think that'd be better.
My thought process, it's hard because I don't trust a single organization at the bottom. Right. You know how sometimes it's like, hey, one team just has a down year.
There's a
year,
reason why they're there.
And yeah, but there's a reason why all these teams are there.
Right.
I don't trust Phoenix because I've seen what they've done with Devin Booker or what they haven't done with Devin Booker.
I think this might be his last year there unless he signed another contract.
He signed a six-year deal. He got 4 years left.
Yeah, he's trying to get paid.
Yeah, so I mean, he's there for a minute. But
unless he sees something that we don't see.
He's going to have to force a trade.
Nah, I think it's going to have to come. But it's going to have to come at some point.
Who is the Phoenix Suns going to get to help them turn their franchise around? Because Devin Booker can't do it all by himself.
That's going to have to be someone they drafted. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't put all of that on Phoenix. I put some of that on Devin Booker because what are you doing besides scoring?
Scoring, yeah.
How much are you leading? How much are you inspiring? What are you doing to get these guys to work a little harder on defense?
He's still real young, though. It's hard being a young guy and being a leader.
So is that on the franchise or is that on his age, though? Because that's why I'm saying I feel like part of it might be
him as well. It's a little bit of both because when you have a franchise, the culture, it's hard to change a losing culture around. People think it's like, just trade and get, you know, that player, you know, and then you just start winning games. You remember when, you know, the big three was formed in Miami, it took them a little while to gain traction, you know what I mean? Because you have to build that chemistry. But I think Devin Booker's career will be determined whether or not he stays in Phoenix.
You know, I'm looking at the NBA draft odds right now. I think I want Zion. I don't want Zion to go here, but because I think New York is the best fit. That's good for the NBA. That's good for the Knicks, especially. Just imagine having primetime games in, you know, Madison Square Garden. That's just good for the league.
Right.
The
Lakers, that's the only reason why I said that.
Nah. Lakers aren't. Nah. I wouldn't mind if he went to Dallas. Dallas has like the eighth best odds right now. So their number one pick chance is like 6.7%.
But it's possible.
It's possible.
He goes to Dallas. They would have Zion.
Kristaps.
And Porzingis.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
If Dirk tries
but
to return,
I trust the organization.
You might have to tell him no.
Yeah.
Nah, Dirk's not returning. He's about to be on a beach somewhere.
I heard a report about 3-4 weeks ago that Dirk was considering giving him one more year just so he could play with the young guys. Because he's not playing with KP.
Right. What? And they get his farewell tour, too. His official farewell tour, because it was kind of given to him. You know, Doc gave him the standing ovation at Staples Center, but he's like, I wasn't even retiring. Like,
I heard that he's thinking about returning.
Yeah, but I mean, so I wouldn't mind seeing him in Dallas. That'd be nice. But Dallas, I think it's like top five protected. So if it falls outside that, it's actually Atlanta's pick. So Atlanta can have two top 10 picks.
Trae Young. Zion.
And that was my second team, Atlanta. Mm. Atlanta would be interesting.
That would.
Atlanta would be real interesting.
And who else do they got? That other guy. What's his name?
John Collins. That's Lob City 2.0. That's Lob City 2.0.
Man. They got it. They would have an inside game and they'd have an outside
game. And they have enough roster flexibility as well to where they can. They're not bound to anyone right now. Right. I think Kent Bazemore is probably the only significant contract they have on books.
And that's Carter's not even, you know, it's not 25, 30.
Right. Yeah, it's 17, 18, somewhere in that range. So those two teams will be most interesting. And the reason being is because I like their organizational structure better than Phoenix, than Cleveland. I do not want Zion in Cleveland.
I would cry for Zion if he got drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. Me too.
Unless Dan Gilbert.
More than Phoenix?
Yeah.
I'd rather have him in Cleveland.
Have him in Phoenix than Cleveland. At least he's around more talent.
Yep.
At least. Yeah. But I don't want him in either. I don't want him in Memphis. I'm cool off Memphis. But yeah, those would be my two picks.
Just got what's her name? Jaren Jackson.
Yeah. So I mean,
that wouldn't even make any sense.
Right. So I like the Knicks for the aspect of, you know, what's good for the league, what's good for New York City as a whole. But in terms of actually playing, Dallas is my pick. So if Dallas ends up with the number one pick somehow, that's going to be wild.
Are they gonna pick him, though? That's the thing.
Who else would you take?
I wouldn't go with, like, Ja Morant. I wouldn't even go with RJ.
Unless if you stay at one,
you wouldn't get RJ?
RJ's too ball dominant.
Not at number one.
I want the ball in Luka's hand, personally. you know, to where Luka can create for himself, he can create for others. Zion is probably the best player without the ball.
But here's in the thing. Draft. If RJ learns how to play without the ball, since he already knows how to play with the ball.
That's a big if. If Zion learns how to shoot, everybody don't learn how to shoot. If
James Harden was great off the ball.
LeBron still don't know how to play off the ball. He's 35. And
he should have been 2 years ago.
That's real.
Yeah, so I mean, no.
You're supposed to learn in Miami how to play. It would be
crazy if he became a great, you know, off-ball offensive player. But, yeah, you know, weird.
Does Luka run point for Dallas?
Basically.
For significant portions
he's
of
like,
the game.
He's like James Harden, in a sense.
Yeah, for significant portions of the game, he's running point. There may be some times where Jalen Brunson's running the offense, but for the most part, it goes through Luka.
I mean, if Barrett could play like DeMar DeRozan, like really play off-ball, slasher, you know, give me the ball in a high post.
I think he has a high basketball IQ. That's what I'm saying. It's not beyond RJ Barrett to do. And he's young enough to, like, learn how to do it. Once you get old, like you were saying, LeBron is whatever, how old he is, I think it's just more that much more difficult. You know what I mean? But if you're teaching a player like, yo, I need you here because you already know how to do this, that, and the third, that's already going to be there. But if you learn this, you can add all these other tools to your game that you wouldn't have, you know.
I just wouldn't draft RJ Barrett or Ja Morant number one. Because I know I can move down a slot or two, possibly get more assets and still get the same player.
Just imagine if, let's say, the Knicks get the number two or number three overall pick. You know they want Zion. And then let's say you are a team like, well, Phoenix will probably draft him. But let's say you're Memphis or someone like that, and you're just trying to build a roster.
Mm-hmm.
I would take New York's number three pick. I would take their first round pick next year. I would take whatever talent I want from their roster.
Kevin Knox.
Because they're going to give whatever up. I feel like they would give whatever up if that meant that they could get Zion. Yeah, if New York specifically. I don't know about anyone else, but I would fleece them. I would get whatever I wanted because you have to think some of these franchises are thinking, I may not have Zion for 10 years. So why am I going to draft him now when I can get someone that may be more likely to stay for 10 years? It'd be interesting. But if
you're Memphis, don't expect Zion to stay after his rookie contract.
I got to see
when him he becomes unrestricted. I see him leaving.
Yeah.
I got to see him play with other players. I got to see the combine because that will tell me a lot. Because when I saw Kuz play for the first time, I was like, oh, he's a hooper.
He might not even do that.
Who goes to the combine?
If I'm locked, why am I going?
Because you're playing with your draft class.
What does that mean to me? That don't help me at all.
I'll see him in the regular season.
Exactly. That doesn't help me at all. You'll see me in summer league.
And that's that's
the thing. When it comes to like players when players that are a lock, it's like, what do I have to prove?
I mean, you think about how many wide receivers.
Lonzo played in the combine.
He wasn't the definitive number one lock.
He was fighting with
Markelle Fultz.
Did Markelle Fultz play?
Ben Simmons played being number two in the combine a few games. I don't think he played the whole thing.
I'm talking about summer league. I'm talking about the combine before you get drafted when you go through your skills test.
Doing the five-on-five drills.
Yeah. I think I got it mixed up. I meant the summer league.
Oh, summer league.
Yeah, that's after I get drafted.
You think he's going to be in the summer league?
Zion, yeah.
Oh yeah, he's gonna play like the first like three games.
Okay. I was gonna say the same thing. Yeah, sure. Just the first couple of games, and that's it.
I got it. We gotta go to Vegas 1 year to catch summer league.
I'm down.
We have to. All right. So we posted a poll, basically asking you guys who was rookie of the year. So the results are in. So we got 59% Luka, and we got 41% Trae Young. How y'all feel about that?
I still think it needs to be a wider margin, but they got it right.
Yeah, I think they got it right, too. I mean, like I said, I saw the arguments for Trae, so don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think Luka kind of had the more longevity and more consistency as well. And it's not like he really fell off. Brandon, I know you aren't here, but who's your pick for Rookie of the Year?
I still got Luka.
Still got Luka?
Because I've never seen a rookie do, like, the things that he does. He doesn't play like a rookie. It's kind of like Ben Simmons where he's just already plugged in. He's already like, but to be real, Luka's been playing professional basketball since he was what, like 16, 17?
Yeah. Overseas. 14, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, 14 he started playing professionally. Mm-hmm.
Like I remember people were hyping up Ricky Rubio like they did Luka. But Luka actually ended up being
He came out and actually did it. That's true.
And people not bringing up Ricky Rubio, but before that draft, I had never heard about this kid. And I'd say maybe two weeks prior.
He had the,
his name just came out of nowhere.
He was like a boy wonder.
He played in the Olympics or the World Championships, one of those for Spain against the U.S., and that put him on the map.
How many game winners does Ricky Rubio have?
I don't know. I mean, it's not something.
I don't think people care.
I don't think anybody's kept up with that.
Yeah. But, I mean, Luka, he's solid.
And he had a decent couple of years in Minnesota. He had some injuries, and he showed that he could have been a nice little glue piece, but he didn't show that he could be a star of your team like Luka has been showing.
And, you know, that's another dysfunctional organization.
He can't create his own shot. That's why he's not a better player. Trae Young, a lot of people counted him out just to be in the league. Like, oh, he's too small to play in the league. He can't do the same things he did in college in the league. You know, he had a lot of naysayers. So big ups to Trae Young. Shout out to Trae Young for, you know, just proving those people wrong. Period, you know, but I think he's going to go on to have, you know, a good basketball career. And if they continue to add pieces, they can end up being, you know, one of those teams in the East where you have to, like, always mark on their calendar for when you play them. Because if Trae Young can shoot better than he is now, I don't know what his free throw percentage is, but if he can figure out.
I think he was in his.
He's in like the high 70s. High 70s. Like 77,
if he can improve his free throw shooting, free throw shooting percentage, I think that'd be really great. And then figure out how to play inside.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you're always going to have that shot and people are going to be looking for you to take that shot. But what makes great 82. Players great, like Steph, he can shoot it from 30, but he can also drive, blow past you and just lay it off the glass on the other side with like English, you know. Just
right.
Him, Kyrie, players of that caliber.
Dame,
yeah. You know.
For sure.
Honestly, I kind of want to touch on this Russell Westbrook.
What about him?
NBA players took a vote, said Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green are tied for being the most overrated basketball players in the NBA. If I'm voting on what my question is, I would vote to the fans. Or I would ask the fans if they think Russell Westbrook is truly overrated.
That's
because
good.
We kind of talked about it earlier. If he's overrated, where is he overrated as? Is he overrated as an overall player, a point guard? Or you think his stats are overrated?
I would say a point guard. Like, he's never been a true point guard to me.
So is he not a top 5 point guard in NBA?
See, and that's where you get me. I'm just like, he plays that position.
Because that's where I think
he puts
he's
up
rated.
The numbers, but he doesn't look like a point guard. Just like James Harden, he doesn't. He has the ball in his hand. Define a point guard. You have the ball in your hand and you facilitate and
if you
score. You
got 5 people on the floor. You have to have 1 point guard, 1 shooting guard, 1 small forward, 1 power forward, 1 center.
I'm not picking Westbrook.
Who is your... No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like in any basketball game, you have 5 players in any organized basketball game. Somebody's your point guard.
Uh-huh.
Whoever your point guard is a point guard. Regardless of how I play the position, regardless of how my offense functions, if I'm the point guard,
they're playing that role,
and I'm the point guard, if you got me playing a Pat Beverly, I bring the ball up sometimes, but my primary role is just to defend the better guard, and I'm only the point guard because I'm shorter than the other shoot. Like, whatever. If you're the point guard, you're the point guard.
You know, and the funny thing, when we think about positions that people play, why don't we think about the positions that they defend? You know what I mean? If you're a point guard, you may not be the prototypical point guard, but you're defending other point guards. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if I'm Russell Westbrook, you say I'm not a point guard, but I'm guarding
Chris Paul.
Ricky Rubio, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker. I'm guarding other point guards. I'm the point guard.
I think he's just not a prototypical point guard.
I don't even know what a prototypical point guard is.
Chris Paul.
Who says so? But I mean, even with... Chris Paul could get you 20. John Stockton didn't get you 20, so is he not a prototypical point guard?
Even Chris Paul, yes, is a prototypical point guard, but I think it depends on what system you're in as well. Chris Paul in Houston is not the same as Chris Paul in New Orleans or in L.A. It's a lot of ISO ball in, you know, Houston right now, and he plays accordingly. That's what they do. You know, there is no... you know, true pick and roll, or we're going to free up, you know, Eric Gordon for a wide open three. He's going to run around threes like J.J. Redick. It all depends on the system. But I think he's probably the closest to being a prototypical point guard by nature. that's just his style of play.
So yeah, if you're just saying somebody who's more of a passing than a scoring guard, then okay. Like, if that's how we're defining it.
I guess. I don't think he's overrated. I just think the reason why he's in that conversation is because the way his stats are set up. I was talking to Barry about this the other day. To average, you know, a triple-double for, what is it, 3 years now?
Three years.
If I'm Steven Adams, that's a joke. Just because I know that if I'm a center in the league and my guard is getting more boards than me, that's kind of embarrassing to me as a big man. If Steven Adams okay with that, that's fine. I just think that a lot of his stats wouldn't be there if he didn't press the issue.
I think the only one that wouldn't be there is rebounding.
And even then, that's almost hard to say.
How do you force an assist when I have to give you the ball and you have to put it in the basket?
You set someone up to make a play.
I'm saying, and that's a part that's of basketball. I'm supposed to do that.
That's basketball.
Yeah. And I mean, and when I think about the rebounding, there are some instances where, hey, no one's going for the rebound and he's the only one. But there are a lot of times where
they just get out of his way.
Think about how many threes are shot in the league nowadays. We all know, we all play basketball. Long shots result in long rebounds. Yeah. So there aren't opportunities for Steven Adams, for Jeremy Grant, for your prototypical bigs anymore, because that ball's coming all the way back out to the three-point line or back out to the elbow, where Russell Westbrook doesn't need to actually be boxing out a big to get there.
We're going to say he's being given these rebounds, somebody has to tell me on average how many per game. Because if I'm averaging 10 rebounds per game and three of them are coming in that manner, I'll take that.
I'd say maybe on average they give him like 1 to 2.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's like, not that
still
bad.
It's still impressive nonetheless. Right. He's going out there and earning a solid 8 or 9.
That's not bad at all. 6'3 guard, I'm getting 8 or 9 rebounds on my own. And nightly, I'm getting 1 to 2 because my teammates know I'm finna get it and they move out the way. I'll take that.
Yeah. But I mean, and he also had a 20-20-20 game. No one's giving you 20 rebounds. So I think
20-20-20 at
the. Nobody's giving you 20 rebounds. Why not?
How many people are getting that? If it's that easy, why isn't anybody else doing it? Last person I saw with a 2020 game was Dwight Howard against the
Nothing. Andre well, I think he Drummond was against the had Nets? A 2020 game.
When he was, or maybe it was 30-30.
Oh, 30-30.
Yeah. I think he was in Charlotte Those playing against the rare. Nets. It was like a 30-30 game.
30 assists or 30 rebounds?
He had 30 points, 30 rebounds, and he was the first person to do it since Kevin Love did it in Minnesota.
Mm. See, that makes more sense to me. Kevin Love? Maybe it's just because he's bigger. I don't know.
But Westbrook's motor is so high, even when it appears that he's being given the rebound, you can't tell because
sometimes
he's
just going harder than the other person.
Where it's like, well, let me just give up because he's coming in like a Mack truck. Like
I'm saying, like 50% of rebounding is effort, the other 50% is technique. He has all effort.
Is Draymond overrated?
Yes.
I mean, who put. Now, people if he I was still Draymond playing Green. Like he was playing 2 years ago, people wouldn't be saying that.
I thought Draymond Green was overrated the day Carrie Champion went on ESPN and said she would rather start a team with Draymond Green over starting a team with Kevin Durant.
Well, that's Carrie Champion. Like
the day somebody actually said that. On television, I knew Draymond Green was overrated.
Nah, that was she was just trying to have
a hard. You don't say team. That about everybody. And nobody ever said I'd rather start a team with Monte Ellis than Kobe Bryant.
Draymond is great for what Golden State does, but he's one of those where I feel like it was just the perfect spot at the perfect time. I can't guarantee if he were to go to Orlando. To Phoenix. Minnesota, to Phoenix, to even Boston, I don't know if he would be as successful. And it has nothing to do with the talent of the team. It's just the role that he plays. I don't know if he'd be able to do it as well as he does in Golden State.
Because they said switched up a lot.
You said what Golden State does. I would say what Golden State did because I feel like their style of play is is even different now with KD on the roster.
Yeah, no, it well, is.
He's not playing in the same role
and
he was.
And he's struggling now.
Exactly.
It changed before KD. It changed when David Lee got hurt. Prior to that, you have a David Lee at the four. You have an Andrew Bogut at the five. Steph was actually playing more like a point guard, averaging 24
shout out or something. Andrew Bogut.
I forgot how many points, but I know he was averaging like right under 9 assists. Most assists he ever averaged in a career, or throughout a year for his career. So you have a Steph, you have a Clay, you have a Barnes, you have a David Lee, you have a Bogut, and you playing like the old school basketball where you have two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
David Lee gets hurt, you bring in Draymond Green, completely different player than a David Lee. And then you start to move your offense around with Steve Kerr, and you kind of tell, all right, Draymond, we're going to pass the ball through you, and Steph, we're going to use you a little bit more as a scorer, you know, just as a shooter. So the offense changed then, and I still felt like he was overrated at that time. Okay, now Draymond Green is averaging 7-8 assists. Look at the shooters he got. Barnes was viewed as a great potential shooter in North Carolina when you looked at his form. Klay Thompson, when he was drafted, Steph Curry at Davidson. You put those three with somebody who can pass. Of course, you're going to get 7-8 assists, especially when you look at their system, how much they're running around. Following that, I think his body is catching up to him. Age is catching up to him. But I've always thought he was just a little overrated.
I think it's a mental thing because you bring in a guy like KD, you're just like, well, what do I ain't got nothing to do now.
Well, you still got the same role because it's not like, what, you taking 5-6 less shots? No, you still got the same role offensively. You add a scorer. Like, you take away Harrison Barnes, you put in Kevin Durant, and now Kevin Durant has a greater scoring responsibility to Harrison Barnes, but as Draymond, pretty much you still passing the ball except for when they go ISO.
Draymond can turn it on and off. When it's on, Golden State is hard to beat.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the way that they I watched their game, you know, last game in Oracle against the Clippers, and Draymond had it on, and Clippers were done. You could just tell. Like, Draymond had one of his best games of the season that reminded me more so of vintage Draymond. When he's on like that, they're hard to beat because he drives their defense. He drives their energy. He drives just their overall. He doesn't drive their offense, but he's a key cog in the offense that
he's like
a casual fan wouldn't notice.
He's like a Rodman. You know what I mean? He's like a Rodman, a Lambeer, where he's a part of the culture of the team where he sets the tone. He's the enforcer. And I don't think Draymond Green is who has Draymond Green in their top five power fours or small
That's
four?
Why I say he's overrated, because there was a time where people had him listed as a top 10 player. Because
he was
player.
at that time.
I didn't call him that. I felt like he was overrated for that.
When you're playing on the best team and you're putting up, he's putting up cool numbers, I don't see why not.
I felt like they were inflated by the style and by the team around him. Same thing that we all keep saying. You're not doing this on no other team.
And I'll partially agree with you on that because I think about like Manu Ginobili, for example. He was well-respected as a sixth man. Everyone knew what he was capable of. I never really heard anyone say he was a top 20 player in the league. You know, with Draymond, Draymond does what he does.
He slept on. Manu slept on,
well,
bro.
We always had Dirk in the conversation. You know, Dirk was always been pretty well-respected as a top 15 player in the league at all times.
Dirk was at all times? At
his whole entire career? Outside of what, this season? I mean, Dirk since 2004 has been a well-respected player.
But were we talking about respected, or are we talking about like the best players playing? Because if he's the best players playing, I want to see who else is on that
list.
At one point, he won
MVP in what, 2006?
But I'm saying like within the last 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 actually. In the last 5 years, he's still a top 15 best player.
Maybe not the past three. But let's say, okay, so prime Dirk has always been well-respected, and he's been a top 15 player in the league.
For sure.
So, I mean, he was MVP, obviously. He won a championship.
Went to two finals.
Yeah, people.
And he wasn't an MVP on either one of those years. Because the year he won MVP, they got knocked out in the first round.
So who was the MVP when they beat Miami? Was it Jason Kidd?
The MVP.
Or was it Harrison Barnes?
Oh, he won finals MVP.
I'm tripping. Well, you won MVP of the finals?
I was talking about league MVP.
Oh, league MVP.
He has one league MVP, and that wasn't the year that they went to the finals. They went to the finals two other years where he was not league MVP. Mm.
Draymond has never been somebody I think.
He's the first glue guy that I can think of being rated that high.
I don't know who would rate him that high.
I mean, he's a role player. Draymond Green was being discussed as if he was a star player, and I viewed him as nothing more than a role player on a good team.
I feel like stars and superstars are not, to their nature, they're not, you know, system players. Like, maybe they wouldn't be as efficient, they wouldn't be as effective in every single system as they are in what they're currently in. Mm-hmm. But I know I can put Dame on any other team and Dame's going to get buckets. I know Steph is going to get buckets. KD is going to get buckets. LeBron, even. Different system, different organization, and still same production.
Right. I'm going to kind of bring up Dirk. Well, not bring up Dirk, but bring up your Dirk point. Never in Draymond Green's career has he ever been better than Paul Millsap. Has he been rated higher than Paul Millsap? Absolutely.
By who, though? That's what I'm saying.
By ESPN, by league analysts, by people who talk about how they would start a team with him.
Analytics.
I could be a sports analyst.
I'm telling you right now, I will say this in front of anybody on any platform. Draymond Green has never been better. This year, last year, 5 years ago, no matter what championship you're talking about.
Is he better than Al
Horford? He's never been better than Paul Millsap.
Is he better than Al Horford? No.
I'm going to say no.
Right? So I'm saying,
but he's been rated higher.
I don't really care about lists like that because they don't make sense to me, especially to compare him to Russell Westbrook. That's already a slanted.
But that's what I mean when I say overrated.
When it comes to overrated, that's a people defined.
These are the people. These are the things, the entities, the groups that are rating these players. Like, you think about it.
That's weird.
We don't dictate LeBron being the best player in the league. Like, we literally don't do that. Fans don't do that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fans in this world that need an opinion. They need a narrative generated for them. That's why you talk about sports with somebody, everything they say, you heard on television already, or you hear on YouTube later. All them same stats such and such told me in the gym. Somebody's going to tell you LeBron James is the best player in the league now, and not Kobe. Well, somebody's going to tell you Giannis is the best player now and not LeBron.
A lot of these sports analysts, they're not even a top player when they were playing. Like I know you followed and watched sports, but it's different when you are actually a player and you've played for one, the sports you're analyzing. A lot of these people, they're analyzing sports they've never played. They've just covered it and they've reported it for years and years. And that's just like saying I've been a spectator for years and years and years. You know what I mean? It's like, I would never put Russell Westbrook and Draymond Green in the same category, period. Whether that's overrated or not. Because you don't compare those two players. That's just my opinion. Is Draymond Green overrated? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know who would rate him that high. But at a point in time in his career, I felt like he was a top player. Just because if he wasn't, right, and it was just all the team, we would never know because he wasn't playing for another team. So we just have to recognize it on the timeline. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see it. I don't see it as, okay, there's and just like, are we saying players in general? Or are we saying power forwards or small forwards?
I'm talking about where he was rated amongst
all the players.
He's been rated as a top 15 player. NBA player.
I got to see the rest of the list.
I say that Draymond's overrated from that standpoint because I've seen some of those same where it's like, hey, he's a top 20 player. And when I think about top 20 players, think about there's some lists that don't even have
Devin. He might be 20.
There's some that don't even have Devin Booker in the top 20.
See, that's what I'm saying. Who's making these lists, bro? Man.
The same people who are saying Zion Williamson would be ranked at this number. Colin Cowherd said, man.
Remember that team? Remember where they were saying the Kentucky team with Anthony Davis
would
on it?
Would be the NBA team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, y'all bugging.
I mean, if you give them how many games, can they get one? Possibly, but no.
Yeah.
You playing against grown men, bro. It's grown
men get beat all the time.
True. Yeah. But at the same time, it's a different beast.
I'm going to post 2 poll questions. I'm going to post it on the Fan Culture Instagram, so make sure to follow at Fan Culture Pod. So we're going to ask 1 question. Is Russell Westbrook overrated? And then the 2nd question, is Draymond Green overrated? If you're listening exclusively from Anchor, you can also leave a voice message, and you know, we'll implement that into the podcast as well. Let us know what you guys think. Like I said, the poll will be on there as well. That'll be up for 24 hours. So
please give us feedback. Yeah. We definitely appreciate it. You know, we're 4 episodes in, you know, so we still want to see what y'all think. We want to rock with you guys. We want to be able to, you know, going forward, know our fan base, no pun intended, but definitely leave, you know, comments, likes. A few of my homeboys let me know that they subscribe and that they were checking us out. They listened to like the episodes. So we definitely appreciate that over here.
Yeah. And we're definitely out here now. So we're not just on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check us out on all those platforms. You can go through Anchor. That'll show you every single platform we're available on. So just make sure to check it out. Like Brandon said, feedback, definitely appreciate it. Let us know what topics you want to talk about, and we will put those up. We're always looking for topics of discussion. So just, we encourage all that. You know, we're here for you guys. We want to interact with you guys. So just make sure to, you know, get those topics out, get your voice out, let your voice be heard. And we would just love to interact with you guys. But that's everything that we got for y'all. Like we said, just make sure to tune in. If you guys have been rocking with us through 4 episodes now, just thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
We definitely appreciate it. And we'll go ahead and kick it up next week. All right, peace.
That's a wrap.
See you.